What's going on, guys? I'm Andrew Gribble, and here's Dustin Fox, and this is the last day that we'll be here from the Senior Bowl and kind of wrapping things up with practice coming to an end today. A lot of people leaving Mobile, but the game is still on Saturday, and a lot to glean from that going forward. But, Dustin, I'll just ask you just a couple things that stood out to you throughout the week. What would you say?
Well, I just thought it was fun to watch the Browns coaches interact with college players, and you know, you get a chance to really see what Greg Williams is going to be like for the first time. I talked about this, I think, on one of our first Periscopes. Seeing him interact with the players up close and personal, it was almost like we had our own little Hard Knocks, because he doesn't hold back. I mean, he is going to go after these guys who, you know, he may never see again. He hasn't for 4 days in the game, but he's going to give them the coaching like they were on his team. So I thought it was just fun to see the coaches interact with the players. It's always great to see these kids compete. I mean, the competition level is as high as it gets. These guys are the top seniors in the entire country, and they come down here and these practices, they're like games, they're like mini games, and that's why the staff, or the scouting departments and coaches that tend to leave on Thursday night, is because they've seen enough. You know, the first three days of practice, is a lot of work.
Yeah, and I thought the thing that stood out to me, and this is a weird thing to say because no one really remembers who wins the game, but it's almost as if the Browns coaching staff was coaching to get this team in the best position to win. And I thought that that's the way practices went. There was a lot of teaching going on. Al Saunders, Kirby Wilson, you saw the teaching and you saw improvement after that teaching. I think Al Saunders was talking to Trevin Durrell of LSU, telling him, you can be faster, you can be faster. Mm-hmm. And then he saw him get faster and make better plays. And I think that the Browns were doing their thing, and they wanted to run the practice the way they run their practices back in Berea. And I think that gave it more of a sense of like a real kind of a training camp practice, as opposed to just kind of an exhibition of these players. And I think that worked well with the players. And I think today, when it culminated with some 11-on-11, there was some real competitive fire there between both coaches, players, everything. And the fact that there was maybe some skirmishes every day showed the competition level on the field wasn't just for guys being here for their own individual purposes.
Not to mention the fact that we're talking about how many, 4 or 5 new coaches on the staff now that haven't worked together. And so they actually got to go through the script of how they're going to run a practice. You know, going from 7-on-7 to 11-on-11 to their individual drills. All these little things that they, like the way they scripted the practice will be the exact same way they script it when they're back in Berea. And so now the staff is kind of got a little bit of a leg up in terms of the preparation. So when they come back for OTAs in the off season, they're going to have a feel for how these guys interact with their players and how they want to run their practice. So I think it was cool to see that as well. You bring up Al Saunders. He's been the story of the week because there's so many people that have been around him or affected by him. Seeing the young players respond to him, because he is not the youngest guy in the world. We know that. But he has the energy of a 25-year-old coach, and that's what's so amazing to see. And you see him teaching. You brought up some of the coaching points he had. You saw one moment where a player goes out of bounds and he double taps his feet, and Al Saunders shows him how to tap his feet better so that he won't get the defender to knock the football out. I mean, little things like that are what you want to see. I loved how the Browns handled this and really spent the time to teach the kids.
Yeah, and I thought it was really good to see Al Saunders doing that. He coaches everyone the same, whether it be Browns players, college players, everyone gets equal treatment. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you're the star receiver or the last receiver on the bench.
Sure.
He coaches everyone the same. And that'll get into the point of talking about some of our favorite players here. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite ones here was working with Al Saunders, and that was Chad Williams, who we talked about yesterday, the wide receiver out of Grambling. A lot of aggression out of him, really good size, and I thought he had a really good week. And I thought that he worked with Al Saunders, really took the coaching well, really was a good blocker as well. And those, he's probably going to be a guy you probably forget about. He ends up as a day three guy, but he was someone I think that helped himself being an off-the-radar guy here from Grambling and kind of got people to notice him after being at the East-West Shrine game last week as well.
Yeah, you know where my feelings lie with Cooper Kupp. Mm-hmm. I thought, the star of the week. He continued to impress. I saw some advanced scientific stuff they had today. They had like GPSs on the players, right, where they measure how fast these guys run. And he measured actually the fastest player on the field of all players on the North squad at 20.7 miles per hour. So they track these players like where that, you know, if it's a drill or if it's a one-on-one or whatever it may be. And he ran 20.7 miles per hour, so it's amazing because people think he's not that fast. I mean, he just ran 20 miles an hour. I think that's pretty fast. He was awesome. I loved Kareem Hunt this week. People know my affinity for the Mac, so it's always great to see a player come from Cleveland who went to Toledo, who had a great week here as well. I thought Trey White, the corner from LSU, who got a little bit nicked up today with an ankle. Coach Greg Williams, who we talked to earlier, said he's fine. He just kind of rolled his ankle up a little bit, and he put in some good work this week, so he probably won't go in the game. But he's probably one of my favorite players here on the defensive side of the ball. There's a corner from San Diego State, Kazi, however you pronounce his last name, had a great week as well. I liked him from the South squad as well.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about the OU guy, the Ohio University guy. I saw him, someone tweeted out today, he could be a second-round pick in the draft coming up.
I didn't think he'd go that high. Like, I did a bunch of his games at Ohio. Like, I thought he was probably like a mid-round, maybe fourth-round guy. But he has come here and really put up good production. I watched him earlier this season against Tennessee, and that's top competition, SEC competition. Had a great game, running down Josh Dobbs, and against a legitimate SEC offense. So he's had a really good day. You talked to some people, or good week, I should say. You talked to some people about him jumping up the boards. Lots of players are doing that. It seems like the small school guys tend to kind of really thrive in this environment because they understand this is a great opportunity to prove yourself against some of this competition, and you can separate yourself, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah, and we've talked about him a lot this week, but I think clearly, again, restating it, O.J. Howard was the best player here. Mm-hmm. He proved as much, and I think with the Senior Bowl, you can maybe inflate these guys' draft projection a little bit because we're not around all the talented underclassmen.
Sure.
It happened last year with Braxton Miller. I don't think it's going to happen with O.J. Howard. I think he's going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And I think because he proved himself that he is the best player on the field, he's making plays nonstop, and I think when you're watching Saturday's game, look for an offense that's tailored to get the most out of those tight ends because pairing him, Evan Engram, Gerald Everett, that's the strength of the South team. And I think Hugh Jackson drew up his offense to maximize those guys, whereas not the biggest names at wide receiver, not the biggest names at running back, and some quarterback play that's maybe inconsistent, the tight end is someone you can always rely on.
I happened to talk to two tight end coaches last night from two different NFL teams. And when I was talking to them about O.J. Howard, the thing that jumped out is that he's not just a pass-catching tight end. He's a heck of a blocker, pass blocker, run blocker. He does it all. And so where does that come from? He's not the biggest guy. He's a very good athlete, and you think sometimes guys would not be good blockers because they're so gifted naturally with that skill set to go catch passes. He said he played for Nick Saban. Nick Saban's not going to put a guy out there who's not going to do it all. And so he has learned to do things the right way. He's learned to be a legitimate all-around tight end, do-it-all tight end. So it's good to see that. Oftentimes you'll see some of these tight ends who just turn into, basketball players essentially on grass.
Yeah.
And he's not that. He's a very physical athlete.
Yeah, when it pertains to the Browns, 12 might be a reach, 33 might be too late, but, crazier things can happen.
I could see him going at 12. Maybe not to the Browns, but, he could go in the top 15 for sure.
Yeah, so he's another guy, a couple other potential first-round picks. Forrest Lamp, not going to be in the game. He got injured earlier this week. As you mentioned, Tre'Davious White, he's a potential first-rounder. Ryan Anderson, he's a maybe for Saturday. He's a local guy, so I think he'll go out there and play just a little bit, but he didn't practice today. So those are some key guys to watch. But really, the focus for the Browns this week is eyeing some guys that really are going to be in the meat of the draft, the second through fifth rounds. That's what the Senior Bowl is known for, and I think that we'll maybe get, when we hear that on draft day, like, oh, I remember him from the Senior Bowl, and we'll probably find out the Browns staff and be like, yeah, this is where we fell in love with this guy.
I'll ask you, Gribbs. I set the over-under on my show earlier today at 3.5. Over-under 3.5 players drafted by the Browns that played in this game.
I would go over because I think that's about the number that has been hit every year without being the coaching staff, and I think that will have an impact. Maybe not with those first couple picks. I would doubt either if the Browns stay at 1-12 that those will be Senior Bowl players, but it's going to be in those second to fourth round where you probably hammer the guys where your decision-making on those guys is really they're ranked the same, and then the tiebreaker is going to be what you saw from the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
So I would go slightly over that 3.5.
I'm with you too, brother.
Yeah. Well, we had a good time here at the Senior Bowl. Hope you guys enjoyed what we did, and it's been a great week in Mobile, and we'll see you soon.